We're studying in the book of Romans, a book that's not easy to comprehend, but it's a labor of love to study and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. And we are continuing our thoughts in Romans chapter 5, and I want to read verses 12 through 14. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. It's interesting here to note that death reigned from Adam to Moses. Does that mean that we don't have to, that death doesn't reign today? That's what shows you a little bit of how difficult sometimes the book of Romans can be, is understanding. Obviously, this is not talking about physical death. It's talking about some other death. And this is death is not talking about being dead in your trespasses and sin and lost. This is another death entirely. And it's a death that lasted from Adam to Moses. And hopefully the Lord will provide us an answer to that question. And I think He has. And so we will gather the facts and then go from there. One thing that's interesting here in verse 12, where it says, as by one man sin entered into the world. Oftentimes we think of sin as generic, a generic sin. We think of, we can go through a list of sins and we know what they are. Lying, cheating, drunkenness, unfaithfulness, and the list can go on. But this word sin here is unique, in that there is a definite article the before the word sin. And in the Greek text you find that the definite article puts emphasis on the word it modifies. In fact, this is talking about a particular sin. This is singular in number. So by one man, and this one man of course was Adam, this one man, the sin entered into the world. And death by that sin. And the death here is a reference to a death that didn't happen the instant Adam and Eve sinned. So we will determine what death it is being, you know, try to determine what death is was spoken of when Adam did this sin. And of course, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And here is a generic, in a generic sense, all have sinned. There is sin in the world, and all of us have sinned. But there is the sin that we need to be careful of. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Eve was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." Adam was not deceived when he sinned. Adam's sin was on purpose. He chose it on purpose. It's the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ did when He died on the cross for our sins, and for not for our sins but for the whole world. You know what? They didn't just catch Him in the garden and drag Him up to the cross. He walked up there. He died for the sins of the whole world. He did it on purpose. And we need to know that. Adam chose the sin of his wife on purpose. Now, what was going on in the garden? Eve was the one who was deceived. Who was she deceived by? She was deceived by the devil. John 8:44 tells us the devil speaketh the lie. And I think it's significant that there is a particular lie that the devil convinced Eve of. And I think we will see that in just a moment. And he is the father of this lie. The lie, let me just tell you this, the lie that Satan wants you to believe that you're saved, you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you don't have to worry about anything that you do in your life. You can eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even though God told you not to. Okay? And it won't make any difference. Did you know that being saved does not guarantee you all the rewards that the faithful can enjoy or will enjoy? It does make a difference how you live. The Lord will reward every man according to his labors, his works. Now, let's continue. In Genesis chapter 1, it said, God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them," it's interesting, plural, "let them," all the way back in the first chapter of Genesis. Who was he talking to or talking about? He's talking about Adam and Eve. "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea." This word dominion means to rule. Adam and Eve were to rule where? Over the earth. And over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth. Adam and Eve were to be the king and queen. There was no difference then. But they were to be the rulers of the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so down in verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Just showing you that he was talking, when he was talking to, about creating Adam, he was talking about creating Eve at the same time. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 3, the devil is speaking to Eve. And he was telling her that, if you eat of this tree, the fruit of this tree, it'd be no problem. No big deal. Okay? That's basically what he was saying. And Eve responded to him, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And I put a little note here on the heading. This is the first use of dynamic equivalent. When Eve added to what the Lord said, "Thou shalt not touch it." That's what he meant, but he didn't say that. He just said, "Don't eat it." Maybe it needed to be pruned. Who knows? But the main thing, don't eat of the fruit. Okay? And then in chapter 2, verse 17, going back to chapter 2, it says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And it's interesting to compare the Septuagint, which is the Old Testament Hebrew translated into Greek, what we find in the Septuagint. It says, "For in the day," not the day, "in the day that you eat it." In other words, it did not happen that day. In fact, it happened in the day. Well, what does it mean, in the day? Well, it means 1,000 years. Adam and Eve did not die for 1,000 years. And I want to skip down and read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, where it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." So that the day that Adam partook of that fruit with his wife, in that day they died. They died in their 900s. They died that day. but it was within a 1,000-year period. Now it's interesting here. It says that in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The Septuagint brings out the fact, or puts the word death before thou shalt surely die. That thou eatest thereof, death. And this word death is thanatos, death. Thou, or ye, in the Septuagint, in other words, both Adam and Eve would suffer the consequences if either one of them ate it, shall surely die. And this is in the future tense, future. It's middle voice, and the significance of the middle voice, this is something that they would choose to do. You translate the middle voice for myself, and it's indicative and it's plural. And I put in there that what the Septuagint had, it is not in the Hebrew text. It's singular in the Hebrew text, plural in the Septuagint. Now, Satan convinced Eve that she surely wouldn't die in Genesis 3:4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. And it's the word thanatos in the Septuagint. Now, what happened to Adam and Eve when they partook of that fruit? And Adam not being deceived, what was he doing? Well, we need to understand what the sin is. And I love verses in the Bible that define words. And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, the sin is defined. Whosoever sinneth or committeth sin transgresses also the law. For the sin is the lawlessness. That's the Greek text brings that out very clearly. In fact, I included Young's literal translation in our notes where it says, everyone who is doing the sin, the lawlessness also he doth do. And the sin is the lawlessness. So Adam was not deceived. And when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he did it on purpose. He was committing the act of lawlessness. He knew it was wrong. And he chose on purpose to do it. In fact, I associate lawlessness with the presumptuous sin. It's a sin that Adam wasn't willing to confess. And he didn't, did he? When God found Adam and Eve hiding in the bushes, he says, what are you doing in the bushes? He said, well, all of a sudden we were naked. And Adam says, it's my wife. Pass in the buck. And then Eve says, well, it's the serpent. Adam committed the sin of lawlessness. Okay? Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, we have an illustration of lawlessness. For if we sin, present active. By the way, let me just bring out the fact that in 1 John 3:4, the word doing the sin is actually practicing the sin. Practicing is doing it over and over and over. I think about practicing your piano lessons. You don't practice the song once, do you? I just think about the people who play violins without music, sheet music. And I just think about people who play the piano without sheet music. I mean, they play for an hour and a half and they don't even look at a piece of paper. they practiced. And you know what? Lawlessness is a sin that you practice. with no conscience. It doesn't bother you. Your conscience has been seared with a hot iron. So you practice it and you do it and you don't confess it. This is a sin I'm going to do, and God can hang it on his beak. That's the attitude of a lawless person, to think that God has a beak to hang it on. But you know what I'm saying. I don't care what God thinks. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27, it says, "For if we sin willfully," this is a willful sin. And the word sin is a present active verb, and its meaning is to practice sin. And if we do it willingly, after we have received the knowledge of the truth. This word knowledge is deeper knowledge, knowledge upon knowledge. If you've sinned after you have really grown in the things of the Lord, you're in trouble. Growing in the truths of the Scriptures and then practicing sin on top of it, you're in trouble, real trouble with God. Particularly, growing in the knowledge of the truth. There remaineth no more sacrifice for those sins. When I think about no more sacrifice for the willful sin, it's a sin you won't confess. And so therefore the blood doesn't cover it. Let me tell you, each of us who sin willfully will have to deal with that sin and confess it as sin at the judgment seat. You'll have to deal with sin you will not confess. We were talking about the Jew that was picking up sticks on the Sabbath back in the Old Testament in Sunday school. And it says that this man picked up sticks on the Sabbath presumptuously, with pride. He didn't have to obey the law of Moses. He was exempt. That's the willful sin. And what happened to the man? Under the law of Moses, he was stoned to death. In fact, that's what it says down here in verse 27, "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment, in fiery indignation which will devour the adversary." You sin willfully, you can expect judgment, severe judgment from God. It does make a difference how you live. And God is interested in you and I both having a holy walk with Him, a clean walk with Him. Now, in Hebrews 1:9, God talking about the Lord, it says, "Thou lovest righteousness and hatest lawlessness." The word iniquity is the word lawlessness. The Lord hates it. You want to know something that God hates? He hates a child of His that won't obey Him. And He does it with pride. "Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." You love righteousness and you hate lawlessness. Now, what happens when you work lawlessness? Well, I included a few verses that have the word lawless in it. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work lawlessness." This isn't lost people. This is saved people not doing the will of the Father. That's the context of Matthew chapter 7, verse 23. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father." And these lawless ones were not interested in doing the will of the Father, and so they were asked to be excused. I guess that's a kind way of putting it. Leave. You're not wanted here. He didn't throw them into the lake of fire forever and ever. He just said, "Depart from me. You don't belong here anymore." In Matthew chapter 13, verse 41, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend, and them which do, in fact this word do is in the present tense, means practice lawlessness. Now, today, people talk about getting in the kingdom in a way that is not scripturally sound. People talk about getting into the kingdom as getting saved. Getting into the kingdom is not getting saved. Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom. If you're born into the family of God, you will see the kingdom of God. But he that does the will of the Father will enter the kingdom. And what is the difference? Well, Moses, when he was close to the border of the land flowing with milk and honey, God took him up on a mountain and Moses saw the land flowing with milk and honey. But he could not enter the land flowing with milk and honey. He did not get the blessings of going into that land and experiencing the blessings that those that were qualified to go in and enjoy. And the same thing with us. If we worked, and I'm not endorsing this lifestyle, but if you worked for the President of the United States to get him elected, you know what? You would get to enter the administration, wouldn't you? That's entering the administration of George Bush or any other president. And the same thing applies in our own life. If we do those things which are pleasing in His sight, we get to be in His administration. Maybe somebody in this room will be on His right hand and another on His left hand. And the chain of command will go down the line. And so there's a difference between seeing and entering. But it says here that He will gather out of His kingdom all that offend. And what does the word offend mean? The word offend means to stumble. There are some of God's kids that cause other of His kids to quit, to stumble. They talk too much. They ignore. They don't minister to people. I just think about the parable of the sheep and the goats. The Lord said, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's what's... And if you ignore the least of these, my brethren, you've ignored me. You've caused them to be offended. You've caused them to stumble or fail. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12, it says, because lawlessness shall abound, the love of the many shall wax cold. We're living in the day of lawlessness abounding. Lawlessness abounds. It happened that way in Noah's day. Did you know that? There was lawlessness in Noah's day. Well, there wasn't even hardly any law. When you think about it, there wasn't any law from God during Noah's day. They still couldn't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's still law, still held. But you know what? God had to put a guard on the door to keep them out. Or what would they have done? They'd have run in there and snitched some when God wasn't looking. Well, obviously that wouldn't work. But you know what I'm saying. There was lawlessness abounding. Violence abounded. Okay? We're living in the day where lawlessness can affect those. The many, by the way, the word "the" is before many. It's talking about a particular group of people. And we'll go through the definition of who those people are here in just a moment. But it's the many, actually, there are many that are called into His kingdom and glory. It says that their love is going to wax cold. What does it mean when your love for the Lord waxes cold? The Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love me, you're going to become what? Indifferent to His commandments? And then the next thing you know, you're going to be living in lawlessness. So, the many here, Matthew 22:14, the many are called, but few are chosen. This calling is not to get saved, Only the saved are called, and you see that in 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. The calling is a holy calling. It's above salvation. It's beyond salvation. Not according to our works. In other words, you don't deserve this calling. This comes because God wants to call you unto His kingdom and glory. I didn't get a phone call from George Bush to come help him get elected, and I didn't get a phone call from him to be in the cabinet or anything else. You know, I'm thankful he doesn't know my name. Anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, Paul says, that you walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. What is the kingdom? Let me just say that. The kingdom is when Jesus Christ rules and reigns for 1,000 years with a rod of iron. And He's not going to do it by Himself, because He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He will have lords, He will have kings to help Him to rule the earth. Now, and of course, in Revelation chapter 3, we see that the church, the latter church of Revelation chapters 2 and 3, have become lukewarm. That's the love, their love of the Lord is waxing cold. Waxing cold means it's getting cooler and cooler until it becomes lukewarm. And what happens to the lukewarm? He spews them out of His mouth. It's the same thing about taking them out of the kingdom. Saying to them, depart from me. Now, in Romans, back to Romans chapter 5, in verse 13, it says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there was no law. The law of Moses was not in the world between Adam and Moses. And because it wasn't in the world at that time, sin was not imputed like it is today. So in verse 14, he says, nevertheless, the death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Well, what did Adam lose when he left the garden? He was no longer the ruler. He was asked to leave the garden, and he used to rule over the fish of the sea and the animal kingdom. But you know what? I don't see anybody doing that today. If you're going to ride a wild horse, what do you got to do with it? You got to break him. You know what? Jesus is the last Adam. Could Jesus ride a wild horse without breaking him? He sure can, and he did. They got a colt that had never been ridden, and he brought it to him, and he sat on it, I guess. I don't know whether he rode it the regular way. Maybe he rode it side saddle. I don't know. He could ride that little colt any way he wanted. Because you know why? Because the second Adam was in charge. And but Adam lost his dominion over the earth. He lost his position of honor and glory upon the earth. And we can lose positions of honor and glory in His coming kingdom by the way we live now. We're on test. We're on trial. God is seeing whether we can be faithful over little. Because if we can't be faithful over little, He sure is not going to put us in charge of much. Now, it says that, nevertheless, the death reigned. And the death that's reigning from Adam to Moses has to do with lawlessness. And, of course, this lawlessness is after those that had sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, or lawlessness, who is the figure of him, that is Jesus Christ, was to come. In other words, death reigned. Now, death reigning means that today we have the possibility of experiencing the same death that Adam experienced. God is calling us unto His kingdom and glory to rule and reign with Him. We can lose that position of honor and glory. We can experience the death of Adam. We can be denied entrance into His kingdom. This is not physical death. This has to do with a loss of honor and glory that we want to enjoy in His coming kingdom. And I tell you what I think I'm going to do for the sake of time that we have left, because I don't. We just need to spend more time on this death next Sunday. But we find Jesus experiencing this death, not on the cross, which we've already talked about last Sunday, His death in the garden. Jesus experienced this death so we wouldn't have to, that we could rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. And I think I'm going to pick up with that, Lord willing, next Sunday, rather than trying to spend another 30 minutes developing this. And because it's, I know this, the warmer that it becomes, the sleepier you become. And it's getting warm in here. But I don't see anybody sleeping. But the point that we need to take with us this morning is this. God does not like lawless kids. He hates lawlessness. And you live a lawless life, you're going to pay the consequences of that lawless life. And you need to know it. And you may not pay for it right now in totality, but you will during the millennium when He is ruling and reigning. You will be denied entrance into His kingdom, and you will be excused from participating in His kingdom. You won't be thrown into hell forever type thing. You just won't have honor and glory in His kingdom. And in fact, I take it from what I have read that rather than being a sovereign, you will be a servant or a subject. May God help us to see the value of being faithful to the Lord in these days while we're in the way with Him. Shall we pray? Father, we just thank You so much for Your many blessings to us. We thank You for revealing the truth of Your Word, that we might be warned in advance and not be caught off guard when we stand before You and we don't hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But here, "I don't know You. Depart from Me, ye workers of lawlessness." Help us, Lord, to be warm, hot even, about obedience to You and doing those things that are pleasing in Your sight. May we be fervent in spirit, always abounding in the work of the Lord that You've given us to do. We just again thank You for revealing to us what is required of us now, so that we'll be prepared to stand in Your presence and to hear, "Well done." Bless the message to each of our hearts this morning, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.